Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Is he latched on?
See, bottle. See, yeah, and he's latched.
He needs a bath today. His hair's greasy. Take this off. This is a pet peeve of mine. I just realized.
What is? Having when people have those on their wrists?
Well, not when they have them on, but when they're like in photo shoots or you forget to take it off and then it ruins the whole picture.
You mean like last time?
When?
Oh, never mind. I won't say anything about it.
Wait, which one?
Anyways.
Which one? Is that a photo shoot I have?
Yeah, we did a photo shoot.
When April took our pictures and I took it off?
I had one on in one of the photos, but you might not have looked at my wrist.
That didn't go far. Anyways, okay. Let's start with the picture this time because we always forget to do it. You ready?
I knew you were going to pick that one.
You did. This is a picture of Tyler and I last year on your birthday. That was so special. A lot happened, but also your birthday is about to come up again this year. So I figured it was a good one to reminisce on.
Yeah, you know how they say like a picture is worth 1,000 words?
Yeah.
Well, not even relating to that day or that photograph, but the t-shirt that I was wearing. In that photograph. Do you see that shirt that I'm wearing?
It's not a t-shirt. It's button up.
Okay. You see that button up shirt that I'm wearing?
Yeah.
Do you know the story behind that shirt?
You traded it, right? You traded.
So I was
literally the shirt off your back.
I traded and probably a man in his 60s was down on vacation on Siesta Key Beach. And I was working the bar at Daiquiri Deck behind the bar. And this guy was having a good time. And I said, man, I really like that shirt. That is a sharp shirt. He said, really? You like this shirt? And I said, yeah. He said, man, I've had this shirt since the 80s. He said, I think that I got this somewhere out in California or something. And I said, well, it's a cool shirt. And he said, I'll trade you for your shirt. I like your shirt. I said, really? But I don't think he knew. I actually had two of those shirts that I had on. And so
it came out on top.
In my mind, I said, I'm going to give this guy the shirt that I gave him. It says, your vibe attracts your tribe.
Yeah.
And I actually had two of those. They were just, you know, work shirts. And so the guy about took his shirt off right there in the middle of the restaurant. I was like, oh, hold on, you know.
Take this in the back.
Come to find out he had like a tank top or a wife beater on underneath, you know, like a little.
Well, that shirt looks so perfect on you.
So
it's a good trade.
Even that shirt has a story. So funny.
There's within the story.
I thought, if this guy's crazy enough to say that, I'm crazy enough to do it. So it's pretty funny.
It is funny. No, it fits you perfectly. It's a perfect Florida shirt. Yep. So this was on your birthday. Yeah. We were on a boat planned by yours truly.
Yeah. You surprised me with a bunch of friends and old friends that I haven't seen in a long time that actually used to be neighbors that lived across the street. So when we were kids growing up, this family, the Peñas, they lived across the street from us and they would make tamales and always have block parties. And their dad, Big Eddie, would play
the harmonica or
he played that too.
The one that the huge thing.
Is it a xylophone?
Yeah, I think it's a xylophone.
I think it's a xylophone. Just don't ever use that word.
No.
So it's not a xylophone. It's an accordion.
Yes. What's a xylophone?
So his dad would actually play the accordion, and that was the coolest thing as a kid, you know, watching these parents just have a good old time. We would have parties in the cul-de-sac, and So growing up, we're in Yukon, Oklahoma, where I'm from, every person on our street, except for maybe one or two houses, had children. And there was multiple children, you know, at each house. So we would just have block parties and play kickball, and we played down in the cul-de-sac. And it's kind of like, you know, they say takes a village. So it took a village to raise all us kids. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, I feel like that is not a thing anymore. Maybe it's where we live, or I'm just not used to seeing it, but I just don't know of anyone that lives on a street that has it, that's full of kids, that they're always outside. Yeah. That
things have changed a little bit. Sometimes you don't know your neighbors as well as
everyone.
Well, here in Florida, everybody's a transplant. So here, everybody is from somewhere else, but where we grew up, everybody's from there and stays there. So it's usually families are around the same places for generations. Yeah. So it's a little bit more tight knit community.
We were just planning a birthday party for you, and you knew about it. You knew. I was planning the party boat with our friends that own the business, Taylor.
Oh,
you're like, hey, send an invitation to my friend Eddie. He lives in Amarillo, Texas. He's not going to come, but I want him to know that he's invited. And so I sent out all the invitations, and then he came back to me and he was like, I was like, I might try to come out there. And I was like, okay, let's make a surprise. I always like to do surprises. I love surprises. I love being surprised. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't going to just tell you like, hey, Eddie's going to come with his girlfriend, you know? So we had this whole thing planned on the side. First, it was just him and Ashley going to come. And then he was like, do you care if my parents come? And I didn't know y'all's history. So I was like, sure, I don't care. Mm-hmm. If your parents come, and they have their own vacation, whatever. So they were trying to make it their own little vacation around your birthday. And I did not know
that they were the life of the party.
I didn't know y'all's history until they came, and I drove to Tampa and picked them up. I almost got in a car wreck within 30 seconds of picking up these strangers I didn't know. And then, you had no idea that they were showing up. So we had this whole thing planned. So we were driving back, and I just wanted to make sure, obviously, you were there at the house. And it kind of ended up being a little shit show, because when we got back, the house cleaners were there. So they're like trying to vacuum and clean around us.
Meanwhile, I'm like down the street. I had taken the dog for a walk. I was literally sitting underneath the shade tree, just. Yeah. And you're like, "Where are you coming home?" I'm like, what? She? What's up?
I've never like your ass about stuff like that.
Yeah, where are you? I'm like, walking the dog.
Oh my god!
Sitting under a shade tree.
I just get so nervous about surprise. I want the surprise to be a surprise and it not be ruined.
So when I came home, all of our places look very similar. It's like living in a condo or a townhome or something like that. It's like very cookie cutter, and they all look the same. So at night, or, you know, it's, you could very easily walk into the wrong place if you're not paying attention. And
Berkeley have before.
So as I'm entering back into my own home, I open the door, and my childhood friend Eddie answers the door, and I like, startled me. He's like, "Oh, hey, what's up?" And I'm like, "What? I'm in the wrong place. What, Eddie? What are you doing here?" You know, I'm like, "What the heck? Like, I'm in the wrong place. Why are you here?"
Good.
And then I'm like, "Oh,
so good.
I get it. I am at home.
I love surprising people."
Yeah, and then his parents were there, and of course, I haven't seen them in 15, 20 years.
So when they first got there, they're very calm. They're very nice, but then you get some drinks in them. They are fun and crazy.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, this was on the boat, on the party boat.
Yeah, so that was High Tide Tiki Tours.
Tiki Tours.
Yeah, so if you go down to Siesta Key Beach, just right there off Stickney Point, they have a little parasail company. You got, it's called Siesta Key Parasail. Mm-hmm. You got High Tide Tiki Tours. And those are our friends, and they really took care of us, and we had an awesome time. And
they catered in your favorite gas station Mexican food.
That's true. It's awesome. Shout out Jalisco Tacos.
This Mexican, it's not even a restaurant. It's, I don't know what to call it.
It's a restaurant. It's kept me alive the last few years. It's
a Texaco gas station, but they have the best Mexican food I've ever.
Doesn't matter where it's from. It's how it's made. You make it with your heart. You make it with TLC.
Yeah. So I catered that in. Then I made a bunch of Sweet Lorraine's cookies, and then no one hardly ate the food at all. We had so much food and cookies left. That was so fun.
I'm sure it didn't go to waste too much.
I don't know what in lies for your next birthday.
Yeah, so that was a good birthday. And we all watched the sunset there together on the boat. Yeah. We watched the sun go down. And on the way back in, we actually saw a little group of dolphins.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
They always take you by where the dolphins are. That was fun. Yeah. But another thing about this birthday party time of the year is, you know, it may have been around the time this little guy was conceived.
Really? Why is that so funny?
I don't know. It might have been that night. Who knows?
Really?
I don't know. I mean, it was around that time.
It was a good birthday for me. I got the ultimate birthday gift.
One to remember for sure.
No doubt.
Speaking of little Tyson.
There's Tyson.
All right, we're 1 month in to being a parent.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Yeah. You're doing a really good job. So not that I had like expectations on you or anything, but I think you far exceeded any expectations that I did have or, you know, could have. I'm just like, think that you've gone above and beyond.
I kind of exceeded my own expectations, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But same as you, I didn't really have this is how it's going to be and this is how I am going to act mm-hmm. and how I'm going to handle everything. But again, I'm adaptable and you just got to do what you got to do. So yeah, it's been awesome. I would really only say we've had like two bad nights as far as him being fussy and lack of sleep, but
we're figuring it out.
Other than that, it's like I kind of got the routine down. I got the pumping down. I got him feeding down. I got the washing the bottles down, the sterilizing. I mean, I think we got it down pretty good, and we've been able to get out. We've gone to multiple social settings.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit. Let's talk about taking your less than a month year old baby out in public and around people. And went to our friends Chris and Chloe's baby shower, and they had babies running around everywhere and little kids everywhere. But the one that I'm thinking of that sticks out in my head is when we took him to the dog park. And when we go to the dog park and that guy's like, well, you guys are brave for bringing him out here. And I'm like, I said, yeah, like, yeah, you know.
But was he saying that because of the other dogs or just, okay. Yeah, I didn't understand that. I mean, what are the dogs?
You don't get it because he's saying that a dog could attack or hurt him or, you know, which is completely possible. But
we didn't have him. We just had him kind of in the front. We didn't have him like out around the other dogs.
The dogs were all minding their own business and doing their thing. And
acclimated to dogs because dogs are always going to be around.
So the guy is like, oh, you're brave. And I'm like, yeah, we are. So, you know, you have to take whatever advice people give you with a grain of salt because they don't live the life that you live or they don't know you like you know you, you know?
Yeah. Well, that
I know if I go in there with the fear of something may attack or something may go wrong, well, something might, you know? But if I go into it with the expectations of nothing bad's going to happen and I'm on high alert and I'm right here and I'm definitely ready for something to happen, I'm not going to just take him out of the stroller or put him in a very vulnerable situation, you know? But I think it is good because Berkeley still needs to get out. He needs to get... One thing that I've heard from a lot of couples when they do have a child or children is that their dog gets squeezed out and they less time for their dog and
I definitely felt that. I didn't think I was going to feel that, but I told you from the beginning, I was like, I no longer think about Berkeley all the time. Now my thoughts have gone to him and I kind of, it's so sad, but I do forget about Berkeley.
I even noticed him the first few days, like when you would be nursing or taking care of him, he would kind of like look and like, okay, she's busy. And then he goes to me and he's like, but it is what it is. And he's a good big brother. He's always around. Yeah. So
I just try to give them equal amounts of love.
It gives him a new purpose, you know?
Yeah.
Gives him something to strive for.
I didn't
for.
Think that I could, that my love and attention for Berkeley could be any less, but. Just for now, it's dropped a little bit, but we'll get it back up there. But I guess one expectation I did have on myself, it really was like I immediately, as soon as possible, wanted to socialize him. I didn't want to be that mom or that parent that was, oh, I can't do anything for 2-3 months. I have to be bunkered down in the house and he has to feed every 2 hours and I have to be the one to feed him. So I just, we've gone out a lot. We've gone to, you know, multiple people's homes, took him to Big Top Brewery, took him to the fair, took him to the dog park, took him to the baby showers. That is one thing that I wanted to do, is just get him acclimated to being social, having people hold him. So I just know some people that didn't really socialize their kids very much, or like let other people hold them, or, and then so they're kind of like timid and shy and don't really open up to other people or adults as easily. So I want him to be like, no one's a stranger, basically.
Yeah. I know one of the ladies at the party was like, oh, he's a newborn. Like, well, my kids are young and they've been sick, so be careful like around them. And I'm like, man, like, okay, it's not like we're going to be like in each other's. Yeah. It's like, it's like, as long as we keep a good distance and everybody's clean, you wash your hands. Like, we're
don't give in to the paranoia or like glamorizing that it has to be hard. See so many things on social media where just glamorizing the hard part of parenthood. And not to say it's not hard, but like you said, it's just your thought process and your mindset. If you think it's going to be hard and difficult and overwhelming and time consuming, then it will be. But I'd say we've done a pretty good job. Like even this morning, we were fully not prepared to leave the house. We had just put breakfast on the table. I'm sitting here on the couch, no pants on, like holding him, and our maintenance guy walks in and he basically tells us we need to leave. So within like 10 minutes, we were out of the house and we went out for a couple hours.
Yeah, they needed to do some stuff with the air conditioning that's going to cause a lot of dust and debris and be nasty in the house for the baby. So we had to get out for a few hours. And
I just, like most parents, be like, oh, we did a little, like, we have to leave at
10, 15 minute little drill.
We just ate breakfast and
yeah.
But I will say one thing that's really helped me that I didn't really expect myself to do is solely bottle feeding, which has actually been way better. The first 11 to 12 days, I was solely breastfeeding. And looking back, I'm like, dang, how was I doing that every 2 or 3 hours? I think it takes the baby longer to eat. He takes multiple breaks. I don't know how much he's eating, but with bottles, it's like I pump and I essentially make 3 or 4 meals out of one pump. And then I know exactly how much he's eating. You can feed him. I can feed him. I don't have to like be naked if someone wants to come over, you know, so that has.
Yeah, it's been helpful.
That's one thing that I have.
We're really very liked. Lucky that he took the bottle on day 10. We had some friends over for dinner and he was hungry and he was fussing and we were kind of like, man, well, we don't want Kayla to be able to go into the other room while we're having a nice dinner here. And she has to miss out on conversation or some vital moments, you know, that we're having as friends. And so we're like, let's try this bottle out. He wasn't picky. He said, give me that thing.
Well, I had been pumping. Someone told me, start pumping as soon as possible, just so your body knows to make more. And so I had pumped. And I, at first it's so funny because it wasn't making very much at all. Mm-hmm. And I just kept freezing it. And so I think I had collectively 10 ounces of breast milk frozen and I de-thawed it I thawed it out and then put it in the bottle and he took it right away, which I was scared because some people say like, oh, my baby won't take bottles. Like, how do I get my baby to take a bottle? And I was like, oh God, hopefully he takes one. And he did. So yeah, we are all good. Honestly, it's everything's different, but also everything's the same at the same time. Yeah. So it's been going awesome.
It's very rewarding.
I love it.
Rewarding. I know everybody says, just enjoy each phase because it happens so fast. And so that's really what I'm trying to do. You know, the last week or so, now that I've had a little bit more time here at home, I'm just like really grateful for this. I know I'm about to hit another little busy season in my life. And just like super grateful for these moments and this time here, because I know it all happens so fast.
Yeah, I know you kind of got off routine a little bit with your fitness and your workouts, but you've been picking it back up.
Yeah, I feel like the time that I was dedicating to the gym, I was a lot more, I had more time to put into it, whereas now my priorities have shifted, you know, so he's number one priority. and obviously your priority as far as what you need help with. And sometimes it's not a helpless feeling, but even me just sitting here holding him sometimes and feeding him, I'm looking around going, that needs to be cleaned and that needs to be washed and I need to put that up. And I, you know, I'm supposed to be editing this and doing that. And it's like, meanwhile, I'm like kind of sitting here taking care of him. So I understand how that feels from your perspective now. So now when I see you and you're sitting on the couch and you're feeding him and you're doing the things that he needs done, it's like now I think, okay, how can I be a help to her? Like, what does she need? She need maybe her water needs to be refilled. Maybe these dishes could be cleaned. It's just little things like that. Yeah, you need some fruit. Bring
times.
And it sounds silly, but it's like, okay, when you have one or two hands full, you can't unscrew this, this milk bottle, and you can't pour yourself a scoop of protein or a scoop of pre-workout or whatever. And it's like, you have to be a team. Like, hey, can you help do this for me? Even when I'm holding him, sitting down, I'm like, hey, will you bring me this? Or can you bring me that? And that sounds very little, but you will understand that you do have to work as a team in order for your child and for the benefit of the family.
Yeah.
It's a team effort.
Oh, he's so the bestest. I love him. So, yeah, but you're getting back to your workouts. How's that felt? Getting
good. Slowly but surely. The last few workouts have been a little bit more intense. I felt like the intensity wasn't there. The thing about me as far as working out is I've been there before. You know what I mean? Like, I have that muscle to mind connection. I've known what it's like to be really, really deep into it and then kind of back off of it a little bit and then just be in it a little bit. It's kind of like, you know, I would look up the word periodization. If you're an athlete, study periodization, and it kind of depends what sport specific thing you're into, what type of training, whether it's for a physique contest or if you're playing baseball or basketball or if you're a mixed martial artist, you go through these periods. And there's a time to be super intense and super intentional. Then you have an off season. There's a time to build muscle, gain muscle. There's a time to maintain. There's a time to lean out. It kind of depends what your sport is, but I would say that there's always kind of flows to it. You know what I mean? And so in my mind, when I am on like a little bit of a not so intense program and I'm kind of just maintaining a little bit and I'm coasting, I tell myself, this is one of those moments, you know, don't freak out. I know you're not into it as much. You're not as intense as you were. You will get back there and you know what it takes and you know how much effort it'll take. But right now, this is my priority and I'm okay with that.
So where would you say you are in your periodization?
I would say I'm like off season, but I'm several months out from potentially doing that show in September. Mm-hmm. So I did that physique show in September of last year. I think doing one a year is kind of good to keep myself accountable. I think everyone should have 1 year defining moment or 1 year defining challenge that they're going to do, whether it's a race or a triathlon or whatever you want to do, a beauty pageant. I mean, whatever you're into. Maybe you're into riding roller coasters and every year you tell yourself, I need to ride a roller coaster every year. Whatever your thing is.
Something.
Well, it should be one thing, I think, that like challenges.
Or a physical thing.
I think it should be challenging, whether it's
mentally or physically.
Yeah, something that's your year defining moment. And last year, that show was that for me. Of course, having a child this year is kind of a year defining thing. Yeah. And
that wasn't so much a challenge for you, though.
No, but it's a different thing, but it's a number one priority.
Yeah.
You know, so that does take my time and effort, and that takes my attention. So that is my number one focus and attention is him. And what it's going to be, you know, the best, it's going to be best for him. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, when it comes to working out though, every time you want to go work out, you always call me and be like, hey, do you care if I go work out? And in my mind, taking care of you or when I need to take care of myself first is going to be important. And I think taking care of you first just helps you better take care of him and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So whenever I can get back to working out, I hope to make it a part of my routine again, and hopefully we can figure out that schedule, whether we work out together, whether we take turns working out. I don't know how it's gonna look yet, but
You notice
I'm never going to be like, no, you can't go work out, because I feel like that only helps you better take care of yourself, of us, of me, of him, and gets your mind right. So,
yeah, but you notice that, I have been working out, but like I said, priorities have changed. So my workout times have changed. So I prioritize him first in the mornings, give you some time. And then whenever you get ready kind of for your day or afternoon, then I can say, okay.
Yeah.
So not only have I changed times, which is fine, it's just what needs to be done.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to do both.
Yeah.
And I have a friend right now, I'll shout him out, my friend John Murmur. He's got 7 kids. He's my age and he has 7 children. He has his own company. He recently went on the carnivore diet, lost a bunch of weight, looked shredded. And I was really curious as to this, you know, we're kind of trading information back and forth. And for me, that's a success to see a man that's married with 7 children that has his own company that says, you know what, I feel so good. And he's like, Tyler, how can I take this to the next level? Like, what do I need to do? And I'm like, well, dude, if you did all this with diet and no exercise, once you add this hour of working out a day, your attention span's going to go up. Your work capacity is going to go up. Your attention to detail is better. Mm-hmm. Your sleep is better. It's like everything is just going to level up. Like your work gets better literally because you become better.
Yeah.
So
I can't wait to work out again.
It's exciting to be a part of. I think you've been a part of a lot of people's journey like that.
Yeah.
So hopefully that fills you up as well when you're able to, you know, help people and guide them and be a part of their journey. It's
helping women mostly with nutrition. But then it's funny because I've seen a handful of clients that I helped lose fat and lose weight. And I would always stress lifting heavy. I just think that's the best thing for women to do as far as hormones, shaping your body, all the benefits you just said. And then I see them, it kind of takes a little bit, months, even years later, I've seen a client just recently on her social be really lifting. And I'm like, go girl. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. You know, it took her a while to get there, but yeah.
It's probably too, I don't know, just came to me, but it's probably like not very stereotypical to see like a young girl or any type of girl like lifting heavy weights. It's like, I guess it's becoming more normal.
Yeah.
It's normalized normal. Like girls weightlifting. But I saw a lady in the gym the other day and she's probably in her maybe late 50s or early 60s. And she's like doing some classic kind of like deadlifts. And I was just like, man, she's getting after it. And she's kind of buffed up older lady. And I was just like, you know, good for her. Like not giving in to social norms. Like, oh, if you're older, you should be doing this or doing yoga or whatever. I think that variety is the spice of life. You got to find what works for you and your body type. But it's cool to see young people lifting heavy and older people lifting heavy. I get a kick out of it and I get energy from seeing those people do that.
Let's talk about how it's, this is just for women, I think, that I've noticed. But a decade ago, it was obviously not as normalized for women to lift weights. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of became more of a thing. Then I started to lift weights. And now this was not a thing five years ago when I was super into mm-hmm. it. But now when you go to a gym, you see a lot of these young girls just walking around half naked in their gym outfits.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that.
You don't think you were doing that?
No, I was not.
You weren't showing belly?
I mean, I was, but in like a athletic, I'm pretty ripped. I'm just wearing a sports bra.
So you were just wearing a sports bra in the gym.
Yeah, but not, but.
So okay, what's the difference?
These days are in there just for the fashion show.
So you're saying you were wearing the same type of stuff that they're wearing. No, you just had different intentions.
Not the same. And I definitely had different intentions, but it's not the same. Like girls are showing their cleavage. They wear super like booty shorts.
What's this going on at?
All the gyms in Florida, EOS, Crunch.
Yes, I've been really getting into my sets. I haven't seen any of that at all.
I've noticed.
I haven't noticed.
I walk in and I'm like, are you here to work out? Or are you here to just walk around, not sweat, have men? What's funny is that they will wear this type, when they'll showing off their body. They're barely working out. They have old men come up to them and hit on them. And then they complain like, oh my gosh, all these men are just talking to me. I can't get a workout in. I'm like, yeah, what do you think? Look at what you're wearing.
I did one time. You reminded me. I was in the stretch room at Crunch. And these two young girls come in and they're wearing yoga pants and they're wearing their like workout clothes, like tight fit workout clothes. And this, I think this girl pulled out her phone and the other one recorded her and she put some bands around her legs and was doing like some side steps or something. Literally did one set. Her friend filmed it and then they turned around and walked out. And I was like, hopefully they got a good workout in before. Hopefully they're not.
I don't know. I just feel like the industry has turned into that being an excuse for women to be like that. Because like, oh, I'm in the gym and I'm lifting and I'm going to do a couple sets of squats and some lat pull downs, but I got a good workout in.
So
that justifies me being able to wear this because.
So this all comes back to all show, no go. That means like people that are all aesthetic, but they have no performance. You know, they are aesthetic based and not performance based. And there's a time and place for everything, but
all I'm saying is I was actually in the gym working out.
I think you're saying that you're an athlete.
Yeah.
And you're actually athletic and you strive to be a good athlete. Yeah. Whereas these people are striving to put on a somewhat of a performance or a show. So you're 4 weeks postpartum. You haven't really worked out. I think you look amazing. I think you look great. And I was just thinking about this the other day. It's cool how I've told you this multiple times, but I've like fallen in love with you multiple times on different occasions. And now like the attraction that I have for you has changed. It's like, I love you from a mother, you know, you're a mother. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I love you in that aspect now. And, you know, with that being said, 4 weeks, you haven't really worked out. We've been active as far as being out and about, but how do you feel and how do you think you're going to bounce back? I mean, you've already bounced back without.
He thinks it's funny. Say, I caused all this.
Mama got to bounce back. Yeah. So like, how do you feel about the road ahead as far as your physical fitness? And what do you, you know, now maybe you get to implement some things.
That I tell other people to do.
Yeah. You get to show people how it works.
I feel like I constantly am implementing the things that I tell people to do. I obviously want to be a walking billboard and practice what I preach. But I think now when someone tells you you cannot work out, that's a little different than choosing not to work out. So I'm just craving lifting heavy because like you said, I just know how that feels every day. It feels so good. Mm-hmm. And as far as cardio, you know, I think the fat will just fall off with the nutrition and lifting weights. Because I think people don't realize that you still burn calories when you're lifting weights.
Oh, yeah.
I think people are like, oh, the cardio is what will burn the calories. And then the lifting weights is what will gain the muscle. But you still burn calories while you're lifting, people. Tell them, Tyson.
I'm just trying to get him comfortable here.
Good. You guys are good. So fun. If you don't have a baby, you should have one.
Yeah. I told my friend that. Like, how you been? I haven't talked to him in a while. I said, you need to find you a girl and have a baby. For real, though. Have you a family.
You want to say something?
What do you want to say, Tyson? There it is. There you go.
In a long time. Oh, sorry, Bubba. We made you spit up on the microphone. Oh, my God. Poor guy. So, what... Segueing off of fitness, what our other kind of habit that we do is we like to watch shows and movies every once in a while if we're at the house.
I don't think we watch TV as much as some people.
No, definitely not as much as some people. But,
we've started lately that we have some time.
Yes. Well, first of all, we watched the best show ever, The Gentlemen. That was a good show.
That was a really good show.
That was a good show.
Guy Ritchie. I like all the characters in that show. I think they have some really good characters. And they have that guy, Gus, from Breaking Bad, who's always a good actor.
It was a really good show. Like, I don't really even know how to explain that show. It was so different.
Yeah.
Different.
Awesome.
I like the producing and the directing. And then So we watched that, and then we watched Quiet on Set, which is...
Quiet on the Set's a Netflix documentary?
It's actually HBO.
Okay. Quiet on the Set is an HBO documentary about Nickelodeon. And about a lot of those characters that were on the Nickelodeon, in the Nickelodeon scene. I won't say too many of the names, I guess. We don't need any...
Watch it.
We don't need any trouble with those people, especially. But, well, they didn't. Yeah. Somebody did.
And they know it's out there.
Anyways, you know, at the top of everything, sometimes there are some scandalous people and people that utilize their power in horrible ways.
Crazy. Yeah. I wouldn't have known any of that was going on, which honestly, I didn't really watch Nickelodeon that much. I wasn't really familiar with a lot of those shows or people, but it's crazy how things don't come out until way later. Why does it take so long for the truth to get out?
The premise behind this stuff was that a lot of these kids were somehow, you know, put into the spotlight of fame. And a lot of times the parents were separated from them. So even when a handful of parents start becoming suspicious of as something's going on, they know something's going on, they would find a way to interject and somehow separate the parents and the children. And, essentially take advantage of the kids. Those parents knew in their heart that something was going on. So I think the best advice that I could give to people is trust your instincts. And there's a reason why you have those instincts. Like today, when we went to Granny's, I had some instincts take over me. And even though we were sitting outside, we were in the driveway and we had to help move some trash. Kayla said, let's run inside real quick. And I was like, I'm not leaving the car because I can't leave Tyson. I can't. Two of us be gone at the same time. It's in my instincts. Yeah. I stay here. Yeah. I don't know. Someone's watching us. I don't know. You know what I mean? There's some crazy people out there in the world. Yeah, you got to trust your instincts.
It just makes you rethink. You know, everyone wants this fame at a young age, you know, or parents want it for their kids. Like they'll do whatever it takes to get them acting, modeling, and showbiz and Hollywood.
We went to something very recently with children involved. That was a pageant. We went to a pageant and
a little beauty pageant.
Honestly, I thought it was pretty cool of these kids to be able to, you know, but I think a lot of times the parents are, you know, obviously vicariously living through their children. But I think for the most part, it's pretty harmless, you know. It's all case by case scenario, obviously.
Yeah, there was one thing that older lady who was emceeing the event said. She kind of said it at the very end, which I'm surprised she waited till the end. But she was basically saying how it's good for your kids' confidence to do stuff like that. And I totally agree.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
This is helping them with stage presence.
Yeah, to be up on stage in front of people and seeing their parents out in the crowd. And sure, help with stage fright and being... Yeah.
I mean, just to increase their confidence of like, you might not win, but you went out there and did it. So
yeah,
I agree with that aspect of it. Like putting your kids in situations where it is going to increase their self-esteem and their confidence and not make them as shy or timid. But
yeah,
to go as far as like our kid has to be a successful model or actor at any expense, it's like, no.
Yeah.
And then like you said, if you hear or see anything that goes outside of your, or like that's testing your instincts or whatever, you just gotta speak up right away. Yeah. Just don't know how
you need to trust your gut.
How people wait decades, be like, oh, that happened to me a decade ago, and I'm just not ready to talk about
it. A lot of those parents said they didn't want to get in their way of their child's success, so they thought that that's what. Meanwhile, they're being told you're kind of getting in our way here. You don't need to be on set. It needs to be focused. We got work to do. But meanwhile, they're just trying to get you away from your kids so that they can probably do all this bad stuff that you don't, as a parent, want to be around or see. That's why they're
exploiting them.
It's called isolating the target is what it is. And yeah, that's what those people are doing.
Yeah. So if you have a chance to watch Quiet on Set.
We're living in the day and age of truth, and truth, the truth shall prevail.
Yeah.
The truth shall
prevail.
Truth
always comes out.
Well, nowadays it's coming to a head in that these lies and deceit that all these people are thinking that they can pull it over, you know, pull a fast one on you. It's like, you will be caught. You're going to be found, and these people are going to be exposed in time. I don't know. I think if you have your truth, own it and, for all those that are lying and deceiving, it's going to come back around again.
So. What was so sad is just all the people that said just how it affected them, even to this day. Like that incident that I witnessed or that happened to me or occurred, it's effed me up to this day. It's really sad.
Yeah. Really yeah. Sad. So even a little bit of childhood fame that.
Like, was it worth it? Yeah. Was it worth being on that Nickelodeon show for 3 seasons and making so much money? And then they, essentially like X you out. Anyways, what do you want little Tyson to do? What do you want him to be or do?
I think I just want him to find his own way. I want him to find what he's passionate about. I think for us, that starts with allowing the space for the opportunity to present itself, if that makes sense. So just being able to provide the space for him to be comfortable with who he is and the ability to learn and to find whatever it is that he does like. Luckily, I grew up in a really safe town. I was able to play basketball all day, every day. I was able to walk from my middle school to the basketball gym all the way home without ever worrying about something bad happening to me. Skateboarding from dark to dark. You know what? Let's talk about that for a second. Skateboarding. I was thinking about this the other day, and I want to thank skateboarding and the skateboarding community for allowing me to become resilient. And it sounds silly. Yeah, I grew up, all of us skateboarded, or a few people rollerbladed and rode bikes and stuff. But I think that skateboarding helped make me a very resilient person. I learned so much trying to land tricks or trying to jump down a stair set or jump down a loading dock. And all that might not have really done much for me in the moment, but I really learned about myself. I learned about my resiliency. I learned about how tough I was. I learned balance. I learned, and all that happened most of the time out away from my parents, you know, and that happened with other groups of kids my age. You know, I'm seeing them jump down a stair set, and then I'm like, well, if Kyle can do it, I can do that, you know, and then maybe I can do it first. Maybe I can land that kickflip first. And most of the time, these kids that are skateboarding aren't bad kids. They're just, that's the way that their life has pushed them in that direction where $100 skateboard might be their means of transportation. That might be all they got. And
yeah, there's such a stigma around skateboarding.
Yeah.
It kind of, like, oh, if you're a skateboarder,
you're a stoner and all that stuff.
They do look like that.
Yeah. They dress probably long hair, baggy pants, yada, yada. But the thing about skateboarding will make you look at the world very abstract. Skateboarding is creating. It's athleticism and art all rolled into one. And that's what's beautiful about skateboarding. It's open for interpretation. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about it. And in that skateboarding community, it's even in competition, you'll see those guys in competition. And if someone beats them, they're usually kind of laugh it off, or, you know, they might be super competitive, but to see their friend do well is also, they're encouraged by it and they're stoked by it. Mm-hmm. And that's why skateboarding is a very different type of community. I just think.
So do you want Tyson to skateboard?
Yeah. If he wants to skate, I want him to be the best that he can possibly be at it and to enjoy it. And skateboarding is done all over the world and it's interpreted in very different ways.
It's in the Olympics now.
Which is insane. Like, if you would have told us that as a kid, like, skateboarding would be in the Olympics, it's like, no, this is an outsider sport, you know?
I definitely want him to do, kind of going back to what we said about the pageants, something, not a pageant, but something that will test him, challenge him, build resiliency for sure, make him more confident. So whatever that is that he finds, whether it be skateboarding or karate or jujitsu or,
you know, like 15, fighting. You know, 10, 15 years ago, you wouldn't have known that there would be coaches and trainers for skateboarding and snowboarding and things like that. And now it's like people are making a career off of teaching kids how to skate and the proper form and techniques. And
I want him to try anything he wants to try. We were just talking to our friend's mom and she was like, I put her in everything. And then we kind of weeded out the things she didn't love as much and like tried to hone in on the things she liked. So that's what I want him to do. I want him to try anything, and then whatever he likes that makes him, that gives him those characteristics. It's not even about what it is, actually. It's just about the character and the resiliency and confidence he'll build from whatever he tries.
In that book, The Sports Gene, they say like right around about 12 years old, the kids will naturally start weeding themselves out of athletics or sports or whatever it is that they're not great at. They kind of start realizing the people around them are a little bit better, and that they might not have it as, you might not get as much playing time, or they might, you know. And so there's kids that are, well, there's like a, it has to be like a certain combination, but.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The kids that love it and are pretty decent at it will keep going. The kids that aren't good at it naturally will kind of fall off. And some of the kids that are even good at it but are pushed too hard might steer away from it. So you have to have like a healthy balance of the kid enjoys it pretty much doing it, not on their own, but they're not forced.
And they think they're good at it.
Yeah. So there has to be like a healthy blend for them to really exceed. You'll see that the kids are people that rise to the top, whether it's in basketball or track or whatever. Usually they were exposed to it really young, and they have a passion for it, you know, so they don't ever kind of lose that passion. They did this study where it's like, why is Brazil win all the World Cups? It's like, why do they, are they better at soccer? Why are they better at soccer? Well, the reason why Brazil is better at soccer is because they start playing at an earlier age. Not only do they start playing earlier, the competition's better. They spend more time on the field. So by the time they get to 10 years old, they're already playing like 15 and 16 year olds in America. Whereas in the United States, the kid might only start playing at 8 or 9, you know?
Yeah.
And so by the time they're 10, they're not quite as developed. And that's all it is like, the time under tension, how much time you put into it. And over there, it's like a huge deal to be a part of the national team. Like that's everything to them. So it's just their priorities. Soccer is a little bit higher up on the priorities than it would be here, where we're more American football or.
Yeah. It's funny things. You say that about the age of 12, because around, I think it was 11 or 12, I wanted to quit softball.
Do you think that was because you were just weren't as good as some, or you're just getting burnt out on it, or
getting burnt out? My dad had put me in a more strict, I guess you could say, on a more strict team where we practiced more. And then not only were we practicing more, but we were driving from Oklahoma City to Moore to practice. And it just became like, I just got burnt out. In my mind, I was like, I don't see myself doing this in high school or college. So like, why would I continue on? So on the way to practice one day, I just like, I was holding it in for so long. I was kind of getting miserable. And like on the way to practice, I just let it out. I was like, Dad, I don't want to play softball anymore.
And he what was his response?
Yeah, he let me quit it.
You were done that day?
Yeah, I think so. I think we turned around, and I think I just was like, I just don't want to play anymore. But then I went to basketball. I didn't fully quit sports. Then I went to basketball, and I played basketball in middle school and my freshman year of high school. And then I played golf in the rest of high school. So, you know, I tried other things. My dad put me in golf lessons and when I was after softball. And I think playing softball did help me in my golf game a little bit. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you think
my swing.
I was just going to say, like, so 12 years old or around that age, you were playing golf?
No.
Later, high school, you
said? I went from like solely softball, a little bit of basketball.
So you think too. Playing all those different sports maybe helped you be more well-rounded, or you learned different things from different sports?
Yeah.
Or
Yeah. I feel like when you're younger, you know, parents, it's easy to just get into soccer. You know, it's kind of like a fun. So I played soccer. And then I started softball pretty young, which that was my main sport. And then I played a little bit of basketball, and then I weeded out softball because I was sick of like the tournaments and being outside and practicing, where like basketball was inside and not as demanding. And so then I went to from softball to basketball solely. And then once I was kind of like, I'm really not that good at basketball. Like, I'm never going to be as good as these other girls that are on the team. But I was like, oh, but I'm pretty good at golf. It doesn't take like super athleticism.
I've seen you hit a golf ball a few times, but you can play some golf. Yeah. And you know how to hit. Yeah. So I remember the first time we're out there at the driving range and you're hitting. I was like, okay, all right. This girl's got it going on. She can hit a golf ball.
I loved playing golf in high school. I mean, especially when it was the last hour of your day, we would just go to the golf course.
So this brings me to a point where a lot of times, me being a trainer, people want like their kids or whatever. Most of the time it's children, but their parents want them to be better at their sport, right? So it's like, if you want your child to be better at baseball, and people want to talk about sport specific training, well, then if you want to be better at baseball, then just play baseball all day, because that's your sport, right? That's like, if you want to get better at basketball, then play basketball 10 hours out of the day. But what you find is, yeah, you become better at basketball and you're playing all the time. But let's say if you want to become more athletic or maybe better footwork, would you play basketball all day? It's like, no. So in my eyes, what I try to do is I actually try to approach this from another angle. And it's like, okay, what's going to help develop this kid? Not only maybe just in this specific sport, but in life, to be a better athlete all around. So if I can make somebody more athletic overall, they're going to be better in their sport, right? So even with baseball, there's one drill that I do to kind of warm up or cool down sometimes, and that's we play a soccer game. And you would think, why are you playing soccer and baseball? Well, it's all about footwork, hand-eye coordination. In baseball, you're using your hands the whole time. Well, like, let's take your hands away and let's just use our brain and use our feet. And I think switching it up like that and doing different things will eventually make you a more well-rounded person. Whereas we could drill all day on one specific thing, and you might be really honed in on that one area. But it's like one guy that I was listening to says they have these guys in the NBA that they're practicing this hook shot from the elbow 3 or 4 hours a day. And it's like, all right, well, we're really getting this practice down. But then once we get in the game and it's like, you're still not being able to hit it. It's like, well, what's wrong? Well, fundamentally, you have no aim to begin with. So let's work on your aim first. And once we get your aim down, then we can start practicing what shots you're going to take in the game.
How do you get your aim down?
Well, we can start closer to the bucket. You know, we can work on form. So it's like, you need to focus on some other areas before we just repeating bad habits, so to speak.
Yeah. If you get into that habit and then you just keep doing that bad habit over and over and
over. If you're doing something wrong and you keep doing it wrong over and over and over, then you're just implementing you not being able to do something.
Speaking of athleticism and sports, what do you think about Jake Paul and Mike Tyson fighting, duking it out?
No, I know. I think that Jake Paul's 27 and Mike Tyson's 57. And I think that Mike Tyson used to be the baddest man on the planet. He was knocking guys out when he was 19, 20 years old, was the heavyweight champion of the world. But that's at 20 years old. Jake Paul would be 7 years past that. Mike Tyson, he's an old man. And I believe...
Well, when you said was the baddest man on the planet, so do you think now he's not?
No.
Okay, so you think it cycles. Now it's someone else comes in. Now they're the baddest man on the planet.
Well, I think when Mike Tyson was up and coming, you had a limited amount of information as to who was the baddest man, because boxing was seen as the toughest, you know, thing out there. Like, boxing in his time before, was how you rate who the baddest man is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was the UFC before UFC. I mean, UFC has kind of outshadowed them recently. But to be honest with you, Jake Paul has brought boxing back into the light, even though people don't want to hear that. It's like he has brought boxing back into the light because he's a loudmouth and everybody wants to see him get knocked out. Everybody does. Everybody wants to see it. Yeah, and he knows that. And he's literally making a living off of it. He didn't need boxing. He found boxing and he's actually really good at it. He's got a heavy, heavy right hand. And he can box. Like, I'm telling you, everybody watches him is like, oh, he's just a YouTuber. Nobody wants to step in there with him. Nobody. Like, I'm telling you, if you got hit by that, you would crumble. He's got a huge right hand. I think, in my opinion, what happens here, you have two friends, two people that respect each other that are trying to make a money grab. And it's going to be a spectacle. That's what it is. It's like it's two people hyping up a fight. Mike probably wants to drop him. Mike wants to knock him out. He wants to. He wants to. But here's the thing. At 57, you're not as alert as a 27-year-old man in his prime. You're not as tough. Your chin isn't as tough. And I'm not saying Mike can't handle it, but I'm saying he's going to move like a 57-year-old boxer. Even though he's one of the best to ever do it, he's not going to move like a 27-year-old. So it's, in my belief, I think I want nothing more than Tyson to knock out Jake Paul. That would be unbelievable, but that's not going to happen.
I think Jake is going to try his hardest, and I don't think Mike is going to try his hardest.
That's not fair. I think that I believe him to be a boxer.
Like someone said, it's a lose-lose-lose situation for Jake Paul.
It's 20. It's like 20 million for Tyson, I think. So I don't think either way.
It's like you already got the money. He already has said it publicly. He doesn't want to hurt Jake because he thinks of him as family. Like Mike Tyson's whole family thinks of Jake Paul as his family. Why would you want to go in there and like demolish someone that you claim is your family? I think he's going to show up. He's going to maybe not half-ass his performance, but he's not going to do it to the full potential. And I don't think Jake's going to knock him out.
Yeah, you think it's just going to be kind of a show, kind of a boxing exhibition?
Yeah, I think it's just going to be, let's hype this up, let's show up, and it just be a bunch of hugging the whole time.
I think it's hard to put two guys in a ring or a cage that want to display their athleticism and tell two athletes to take it easy. I think that as an athlete, if you're on the biggest stage in the world and then you're told to take it easy, that's kind of like, no, now's not the time for me to actually...
I just think you don't fight your friends. Take it easy. I think you find people that you aren't friends with and you go toe-to-toe with someone who's not your friend.
It doesn't matter. If they wanted me to fight my best friend for $20 million, we would do it and I will hook it up straight up. Straight up, $20 million. Yeah, I would. And they would try to knock me out, guaranteed.
Even if you were guaranteed to already get the money.
I'm going to put on a show, like straight up. Like you're... If you are an athlete, it is your job to entertain and to put on a show. You're not going to go out there and say, all right, guys, I'm going to give it a B+ effort and hope you guys like it. No, like I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you the skill set that I have. And that's no money. You can't put money on that. Like to show the world what you're capable of. That's what this is about. That's what this sport should be about. That's what MMA, like... That's what it's about, is displaying your athleticism, and there's really no number you can put on that. I think, in my mind, Jake Paul knocks out Mike Tyson, everybody's going to be pissed off about it, and they're going to say, oh, you're picking on an old man, but what is this? You guys don't even know. Like, we're talking about the Tyson-Jake Paul fight. He's probably already thinking about the next person that he's lining up. The person that helps promote Jake's fights was the dude from UFC, and them two teamed up. And now they are their own promotion. Hmm. It's pretty much like the money team, you know, like Floyd Mayweather. He's made $1 billion in boxing and hasn't lost a match. Mm-hmm. It's because he knows how to pick his opponents. He knows how to market. And that's what it is. And Jake knows the same thing. Tyson's going along with it. Tyson bought in is what happened. Tyson got bought out.
So what's your prediction?
I think Jake Paul knocks him out in the second round.
Okay. How many rounds are there?
That's a good question. I don't know.
The eight? Probably if they're eight. Obviously, if you don't knock out.
But the thing is Tyson's going to have to get in there early and try to throw some shots. And I think what happens is Jake weathers the storm, doesn't get hurt within the first couple of rounds.
Yeah, he'll run around.
Maybe at the end of the second, beginning of the third, Jake will knock him out.
Okay.
That's just because he's got a heavy right hand. I just hope Tyson can stay low like he does. Stay low, and come up with that uppercut. Please put him to sleep.
Gosh.
Put him to sleep.
Like Tyson is right now.
I think it's really kind of ironic that we named our son Tyson and now Mike Tyson is going to be fighting in 2024.
So we kind of named him after Mike Tyson.
Well, yeah, he's the baddest man on the planet, or was the baddest man on the planet. We'll see. We'll see. Do you think he's still the baddest man on the planet? Mike we'll Tyson. See. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like if you give someone that title, does it ever go away? It's like, is Kobe not the greatest NBA player of all time? Or is Michael Jordan not the NBA? You know, it's like, do you deem him as that and then take it away? Or do you say he was and is still?
Subject to change, I guess. At that time, he was rocking heads. He was the baddest man on the planet. So they say Francis Ngannou is one of the baddest men on the planet. So I don't know. I think Mike Tyson is an incredible athlete, and he's got incredible power. I think
I have to wait till July to find out.
I think Jake makes his money and picks out his next 50-year-old plus ex-athlete to pick on.
Well, we've got millions in the bank, so what's it matter? All right, we should probably sign off. This little nugget is getting restless. Okay. Thanks for coming on here, Tyson, and helping us, even though you spit on my microphone.
Well, it's been a good weekend and a good week, so look forward to another one.
All right, thanks. Right. Proud of you.
All right, happy you. Love you.
Love you.